This is Jesus Pop. It took a little time, but we made it back. It took a little time, but we made it back.
Welcome to Jesus Pop with your Christian filter to everything pop culture. My name is Aris Buckner. I'm a Christian husband, father, pastor, designer, and nerd. And it has been a crazy time. You know, spare the apologies. We are going to get those Oscar nominated. And at this time, at this taping, the Oscars already happened, so we know the winners. But we are going to talk about those movies. I will get to those movies from this previous year because there's still a lot of great movies. Again, Logan's one of the movies that come to mind that I definitely want to go through. But the topic today, and it's again overdue, if you've been a part of my podcast, a lot of me catching up because it's just life. I have a lot of things that I'm doing in life. Not to say you don't, but for me, I got a lot of things going on in my life. And I want to and am continually fighting to make the podcast somewhat a priority. And, you know, because I love doing it and it's my time that I can fight to carve out to make it happen of the many other things that I'm doing in my life. But I'm glad that you guys are here. I'm glad that you're spending the time to listen and sticking around. But anyways, that all being said, the topic for the day is Black Panther. We are finally getting to talk about Black Panther. And I want to talk about it. There's a lot of stuff in here that, for me personally, it was really, really good and moving. And one of those films that is going to change the landscape moving forward, particularly in the area of people of color, primarily African Americans. And I don't think that African Americans but just people in color in general, really great. And if you did not know, I am a person of color. I'm African American. And I know for me, again, it was one of those special connections for that. The same way Wonder Woman, that walking out, me not being female, but talking to my wife and many other women in our ministry, it was one of those groundbreaking, amazing films that they connected to. And so I want to talk about that. So all that being said, let's jump right on in. There's some movie info I want to cover. The director, Ryan Coogler, is one of my favorite, becoming one of my favorite directors for many reasons, but he had directed Fruitvale Station. He also directed Creed and crushed those movies. So knowing that he was being hired by Marvel for Black Panther, I thought he was going to do a great job, and he did. And we'll get into the movie about that. The cast, awesome cast. And one of the few movies that I can, in recent memory, of an all African-American cast, or not African-American, but all Black cast connected with African-American descent or African descent. And really awesome. We got Chadwick Boseman, who's T'Challa, Lupita Nyong'o, who's Oscar-nominated actress, Michael B. Jordan did a lot of great stuff. He was in Creed, and he's kind of Ryan Coogler's go-to guy that's been hopping from place to place with him in these projects that he's been doing. Danai Gurira, who a lot of people know from Walking Dead, she crushed it as Okoye, part of the Dora Milaje, that all-women army. They were amazing. Martin Freeman, one of the few white guys in the movie, him and Andy Serkis, which are great. There was a tweet going around I thought was one of the most genius comical tweets, where they talked about that they were looking at the movie poster when it came out, I think about 6 or 7 months ago, one of the movie posters that came out, and one guy tweeted, "Hey, I love the token white guys," and he spelled token as, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, because they're also part of the Tolkien universe in Lord of the Rings and the movies following. So I thought that was very genius of them to throw that out there. But Martin Freeman, one of the white dudes that are in this film along with Andy Serkis, are great. I love Martin Freeman all the way back from Office, the British version. That's how I got to know him. Andy Serkis does a lot of motion capture, does some of my favorite movies in the Apes movies, the Apes trilogy. He is a genius when it comes to motion capture, played all kinds of different roles, starting with Gollum because of the Lord of the Rings. That's where that technology, groundbreaking technology, came from, and they got nominated and I think won an Oscar for special effects. But he does a lot of stuff. He was Snoke in The Last Jedi. I mean, I'm sure he's going to do many other, and may carve out a new category in the Oscars for motion capture. Actors. I mean, he does such a great job in these roles, but he played a normal person, right? He played an actual real life person, which I'm sure he's also excited about as well. But you have Daniel Kaluuya, who was in Get Out. He's getting all kinds of accolades. Letitia Wright, however you want to say it, she is becoming one of my favorite actresses, and I'll talk more about one of the bright spots of many in the movie. I love her, and I got a chance to get to know her. Not that I know her, but seeing Black Mirror, she was in one of the last episode of Black Mirror, and it was a standout for me. Not knowing that she was also going to be in Black Panther, it was a treat to see her in that. Winston Duke, who plays M'Baku, which is again another favorite character, Sterling K. Brown, This Is Us. But I got to see and be exposed to Sterling in the O.J. Simpson series, and he did a great job in that series. Angela Bassett, she's like the Black Judy Dench, and I don't want to even say that, but I mean I see her. She's a dame, and she's what, you know, she's in Black consciousness in terms of the things that she does. She's really great. Forrest Whitaker, and you guys know, well, you probably don't know, but if you listen to this podcast, I love me some Forrest Whitaker. He is the crazy uncle, I'm telling you. In most of his films, man, he is. And he did a great job here. I talked about him when we did the Rogue One commentary and breakdown. I love him in that, you know, at times he can overact and he's goofy and funny and I love him, but he does some incredible roles. You know, Last King of Scotland, I think. I don't think he got nominated for that, but really, really great. That's a lot of people. That's probably the most time I spent on cast. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about the news and then we'll get into breaking it down. You know, at the time of this podcast, the movie has grossed over $500 million domestic, which is huge. There's only a small pool of films that have done that. Also overseas, it's almost at $400 million overseas. A total of almost $900 million worldwide. That is incredible. This movie is going to hit $1 billion. I'm sure of that. It's at $897 now. Like I said, just shy of $900 million. That's insane to think about that. So, I mean, just crazy. Some other box office records we got. It's the largest film to open in February, which is a feat in itself because of Deadpool, what Deadpool did a couple years ago. A fifth largest opening for a film in movie history. The second largest second week opening in movie history. The 10th movie to reach $500 million domestic. Again, these are some incredible records that I think no one saw coming. I think it was tracking at 150, 160. Nobody saw this. And even that was being very, very generous. And it crushed it. I think opening weekend was 208 or something like 201 or around there, 235, 248 for the 4-day weekend because it was President's Day holiday. But that's all to say that the movie did an incredible impact, not only here domestically in the U.S., but also worldwide. It did a lot of great stuff. So let's get into the film. You know, a lot of you guys know that the way I break this down, and if you don't, I'll go through this. I do it now moving forward for all of our future podcasts. But here's how we're going to break down the film. We're going to start off with first impressions. You know, what do we think about it? What did I get out of it? Again, I'd love for you guys to tweet. I'll give you the handle of that and towards the end of the podcast. But I want to talk about my first impressions of me watching the film. Next, I want to talk about The Forbidden Fruit. You know, what does this teach us about the world that we live in? Because everything that we consume, books, novels, television, news, media, whatever, social media, it's teaching us something. Everything that's happened is going down. You know, just a couple weeks ago, the whole Parkland thing, which was a tragic event. What does that teach us about our society? A lot of people are talking about gun laws and redoing gun laws. What are we going to do about that? How do we assess people's mental health? How do we see the signs to stop someone going out and creating this stir, or at worst actually doing what this guy had done in Parkland and so many others? And not just even Parkland, there's a lot of stuff that go on in impoverished areas, not only in America but all over the world, that never get reported. Kids growing up in the most hellish situations. But the world is teaching us something. The things that we see, history, it's teaching us something. Everything that we view, we've got to be alert. And if anything you get out of these podcasts, the times I put them out, I want you to be alert. Now, we watch movies and we watch these things that we take out of movies because, frankly, in America, we are consumers. You know, to the rest of the world, they're like, we can make money off Americans because that's what we do. We consume. And so we consume a lot of material. And I've said this before, that the movies that we watch today, the media that we consume today, these storylines are the modern day parables, like of Jesus' time. He would tell them stories. They'd have movies, so he would tell them these stories to help make these points, to get something out of it. For Jesus, it was spiritual, heavenly things, things that were unseen, things to explain complex topics and theology for them to understand who God is. That's what I want to do. That's the purpose of this podcast, to do that. So that's the forbidden fruit. Just like when Eve took a bite of that fruit, it taught her something. Her eyes were open, and I'm sure she regretted that decision ever since then. So let's learn from it. Let's not have to eat into the evil that we see. Let's learn from it while we look at it. So what is the forbidden fruit? Next, it's the God factor. What does it teach us about God? And that, to me, this is the meat of the podcast. What does it teach us about God? What is God saying through these things, particularly through these, specifically through these movies that we are reviewing? And lastly, revelation. What does it teach you about yourself? Each of us get something different out of the film, especially for Black Panther. You've got something different if you are African American or not, if you are a man or a woman, if you are younger or older. There's a lot that you get out. If you are American or you are not American, there's certain things you're getting you won't get. If you are actually African, those are things you'll get that you won't get, right? And so there's a lot of different things that we get that's revelation to us. What does it teach us about ourselves? And I'll share a little bit about that. So let's hop in. It's a lot of explaining. Let's hop in. So what are some of the first impressions of the film that I got? You know, I just want to say, I really like this film. I wanted to love it, but I didn't love it. And there's some issues with it. But overall, film I thought was an incredible success, not just because at the box office, but for me personally. So my first impression is that I liked it. I walked out liking it. There are certain spots I really, really, really like. And I'm hoping that this movie would be like The Last Jedi for me. I walked out The Last Jedi and I liked it, didn't love it. I saw it in my subsequent viewings. I really loved it because it's one of those films that grows on you. And I'm hoping that Black Panther, for me personally, does that. You know, some of the things, and again, I got to see it again. I've only seen it once. And if, geez, and I saw it, it'd be 3 or 4 weeks ago. But some highlights. Shuri, please, exclamation point. Shuri. T'Challa's sister. She is like the M in Bond. And creating these incredible, I don't know, gadgets. I see it. It was almost like a James Bond film, right? I loved her. She was great. She's a whiz, and confirmed from Marvel reps that she is the smartest character in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I loved her. She was great. She was youthful. She was fun. She was very emotional at moments when she needed to be. An impact. I hope she does. I hope she gets her own movie. I mean, I just want to see all the gadgets. I can't wait to see her in Infinity War. I mean, it's going to be incredible. Denai is the next person that I got out of there. Okoye, who played Okoye in the movie, part of the Dora Milaje, the leader of this incredible, crazy women army unit. She's amazing. I mean, it's like this Marine unit for women, and I love that. She's very strong, again, very emotional. she had principles that she stuck by, even though it didn't seem right to do that, but she was a person of principle. I loved her in this movie. M'Baku, I said it before, Winston Duke, he killed it. He was the kind of comic relief, and you had some people throughout, but he kept surprising me. And more and more you got to know, he would say these things that were just incredible. And then lastly, the biggest highlight out of the movie was Wakanda. The world building that Ryan Coogler does is second to none. I mean, he really opens it up. And I didn't think he had the ability to do that. I knew this film was going to be a personal film. I knew this because of seeing Creed and seeing Fruitvale Station. I knew that this film was going to focus and really talk about relationships. I did not know this guy had some talent for world building. I mean, I felt like this is probably one of the most realized worlds in the Marvel universe, and really any comic book universe that I've experienced, on par with Star Wars for me. And you guys know how much I love Star Wars. It's great. I mean, it's really, really great. Now, here's some of the issues I had. At times, the dialogue was cheesy. There's moments with Killmonger, and I had some issues with Killmonger. And he was a highlight. I didn't put him in the big highlights because I thought he did a great job, and people saying he's the best villain. I think some of the cheesy moments took those things out for me, and I wanted to see, I don't know, it's hard to articulate. I wanted more from him in certain things. But, Michael B. Jordan, he killed it. So the dialogue at times was cheesy and in between certain moments. And then really for me as a graphics guy, as a guy who has got, I got my degree in graphic design, the CG, man, really threw me off. Especially the ending fight scene. It was really hard to, really get into that. So, but those are some issues. They're very, they're minor. They didn't take me out of the film, but they did knock it down a little bit. I'm hoping to see it again and have the same feeling I got when I walked out of The Last Jedi the first time and then started watching it a couple times afterwards. So anyways, overall, I feel like the movie was what it needed to be for people of color for around the world to make a statement that nearly all black cast can be successful. And I hope opens the mind to a lot of these execs who are afraid to put leads of color in their films. The same way Wonder Woman said, hey, a female-led film can make you money. And still, it's kind of funny saying that in 2018, but people need to believe. They need to see the light. Again, the world building was awesome. Reminds me of the history of Kush. You can go back, you Google it, but this African kingdom that was in between Egypt and Ethiopia, kind of covered and spilled into other areas, but great. But it was kind of a wink to some of those things. I don't know if Coogler did that on purpose or not, but Kush was a major producer of iron, i.e. vibranium of that day, because you had iron, you controlled things. But it also became the ultimate downfall, which people came and kind of raped and pillaged the place for its iron and decimated the people. Possible fate of Wakanda, we'll get into that, about the idea of vibranium and how much they want to release that to the world. So let's get into the second part, Forbidden Fruit. What does this teach us about the world? You know, for me, the big topic, really the biggest topic for me personally, was nationalism versus globalism. And you got that from the residents and inhabitants of Wakanda. This place is a hidden place in Africa that only Wakandans can go. You know, their birthright allows them to enter in here, or at least to know of this place and to have claim to this place. This wonderful world that I talked about was a huge highlight for me. This world that Ryan Coogler, the director, did a great job of building. But the Wakandans, they didn't want the outside world to even know, to even be aware of it. Martin Freeman's character, who ends up having to come to Wakanda because of an incident. And again, if me talking about this film, hopefully you've seen it. If you didn't, we're spoiling like the mess out of this. But so Martin Freeman's character, the guy in the military, I think is part of the government, who has to come to Wakanda to get medical attention. They even, agonize over that, bringing this foreigner here, because they want their world hidden. They want to stay out of the world's affairs. To me, that so much of our world now, we're going through that. It parallels a lot of these nations in our world, particularly here in America. You know, our president-elect is talking a lot about nationalism and you know, America first type mentality. There's some good things that come with that, but to me, the bad outweighs the good of promoting nationalism within our group, because we are a world that interacts with other people. And as messy as that seems, to me, globalism and helping the world, especially if you have the resources, like America does, we have those resources, we have the money. And then though, with our deficit and stuff, people may argue differ. But I do feel like, to me, especially as Christians, that should be our thought, is to go and to help, especially if we have the resources. So that's one of those forbidden fruits that I got out of it. Another forbidden fruit was the sins of the father, T'Chaka versus T'Challa. T'Chaka, a lot of the stories driven, and even the creation of the villain, is because of the sins of hiding things and not dealing with family turmoil, and in this case, murder. I mean, T'Chaka killed his brother and hit it, and that ended up leading, because that was Killmonger's dad, ended up leading him on this path of wanting to get revenge that became the downfall, right? And so sins of the father, I think, and that's a term that we can definitely relate to biblically, because of Adam's sin and what that caused. You know, Romans talks a lot about that. For one man, sin entered the world through Adam, and him, really, Eve was the initiator, but the blame was on Adam and his leadership and what that did for the world moving forward. And the evil and the sin that we deal with today, and a lot of other stuff has contributed to that in terms of demonic forces and all those things. But I love that part, and even the interaction in parts of the movie that T'Challa has with T'Chaka, and talking to him, you know, talking to his dad, saying, "I will not go that way. You guys had the ability and the power to do something different, and you didn't. It's all lies." And I mean, and I don't think just not only with the murder of T'Chaka's brother, but also just the idea of hiding the whole nation away from the world, because to me that was one of the best moments about Michael B. Jordan's performance as Killmonger, is the hatred. Like, why would you hide all this stuff? There's so many of our people, speaking of African Americans, who, you know, the history of that and the slave trade and getting here to America, and just the horrific history, that there is no heritage. I have no heritage, right? I mean, I can trace things that will go back to slavery and maybe some of those coastal cities in Africa, but there's really no history for me. And you get that. I felt that. That was one of the most emotional kind of connections that I had with Killmonger. Is he's like, man, I'm Wakandan, and yet I'm held out. Not only held out, my dad was killed. And you guys hit it. Oh, I'm taking it. I'm taking over, and I'm open. I'm blowing this thing wide open. We are going to dominate the world because we need to. The people need to see that. And in some ways, the film did that. I feel like Ryan Coogler did that with the film, is that he raised the level, not in a revenge, a Killmonger way, but he raised the awareness that there is heritage there. There's rich heritage, and there's tons of rich heritage in Africa. You know, talking about kingdoms like Kush, and for us to draw from, you know, Egyptian kingdom as well. It's in Africa. And so talking about these civilizations, these incredible and beautiful places that a lot of people who are African American don't have or hard to connect to. You know, I grew up and inner city, and seeing, you know, may have shared this in a past podcast. My dad was a drug addict, and me going through that single mom situation is kind of sadly the stereotypical thing. But my mom and her faith, she didn't want to fall victim and become another stat. She worked a way out. She pushed for education for us, our faith in God, and got us to where we are. And God did the rest. You know, he was working all the way behind the scenes, but really had a hand in on me personally and calling me to become a Christian. And now I'm a minister, and so a pastor. And I'm encouraged by that. But I do relate to Killmonger. There's a lot there. There's so much there. So much pain that I felt growing up in the city, and feeling like, man, like I've been handed a bad hand. You know, I'm sitting at the poker table and everyone's getting these winning hands except for me. You know, I got a 2-7 offsuit. I mean, I'm not, for those who know poker, I'm probably losing a lot of people, but I was dealt a bad hand from the start, and I've got to work. I got to play with what I got, and it could be said for so many people, whether wherever you were raised or what gender you are. There, sadly, there because of the way our world operates, you've been dealt a bad hand. Whether maybe there's physical limitations, emotional, mental limitations, you've been dealt a bad hand, right? The cool thing about God and Christianity is that Jesus sits at the table with me to help me win. And he wins every time, right? He takes wherever I'm at and he makes it whole. He makes me whole because of his word, because of his spirit, right? And so I'm encouraged by that, and I've taken away from that when I look at the forbidden fruit of those sins of the Father and how generation can mess those things up. How those things, which lead me to my next point, how the world and will exploit you. I think that's the downside of Killmonger. He had good aspirations. We understand his aspirations, but he wanted to use those for evil. He wanted to exploit it. He wanted to exploit Wakanda. He wanted to use it for his power, and he wanted to take it over. And that's different from Jesus, right? He does not want to exploit us. He came down here in one of the Arrival podcasts, looking at the movie Arrival. Jesus came down. God entered our world not to subdue us, to be slaves. He came in to love us and sent his son down to die for us. He did not want to exploit us. But that's what the world does. And when I mean the world, I mean those outside of God's kingdom. They want to exploit. The thirst of the sinful nature is to exploit. Exploit in relationships, exploit in finances and monetary wealth, exploit in the suck the life out of. And in a practical, real world way, Africa had been exploited, primarily from the diamond trade. And there's other resources and natural resources that have been taken. And it's not just Africa, there's many countries where they're being exploited for their oil, where they're being exploited for their labor and their people. There's exploitation all over the place. You know, I talked about loss of heritage for me personally because of exploitation of people in the past. This is the world that we live in. This is the forbidden fruit. That's the fruit that a lot of people bite out of, is that exploitation. But thank God there's a God factor, right? What does this teach us? The next point, what does this teach us about God? The biggest thing that I got out of it is that, you know, we talked about the nationalism versus globalism. I taught that Judaism versus Christianity, and not like against, and I'm not going to offend people who, you know, you, if you're Jewish, you have a Jewish background, but that plan when we get into the New Testament is that, and here I want to speak to those who think that God in the Old Testament is different from God in the New Testament. Bag that. God is God, both old and new. And though he was preserving the people, you could see as nationalistic and the Jews, there's a purpose behind that. I don't have a lot of time in this podcast to explain it, but God was doing that purposeful of choosing the Jews to show the rest of the world that he is God. But when we get into the New Testament, we get into the life of Jesus, he blows that wide open, right? And there's hints of it in the Old Testament saying, I am going to preserve a people of mine, but that's not the plan. The plan is to save the whole world, right? Since the beginning. Plans to save the whole world. And Christianity is that. What Jesus laid down his life and poured out his blood for was to save everybody. And a couple of verses that hint towards this, God's plan and his views, Isaiah 49:6. And the NLT says, and this is God speaking, he says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me, when he's talking to his people. I will make you a light to the Gentiles. The ESV, the literal translation is nations. And you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. That was God's plan in Isaiah, right? In Isaiah. Isaiah is given prophecy. And we see that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I'm reading the NLT. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is Jesus speaking. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling the people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's kind of cool, because that becomes like the thesis of Acts. They start in Jerusalem with the Pentecost and tongues of fire, the whole deal. Peter gets up, preaches the message, the gospel. Jesus died for you. You killed, you know, what Hebrews talks about, the author of the faith. You killed him. He died for you so that you can leave your life of sin. He left us a way of living the way God wants us to. And the guy's like, what should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That started in Jerusalem, caused the ruckus, burgeoning movement here that's starting up. And then it goes out from there to Judea, and then to Samaria, Acts 8, and then to the ends of the earth as we branch out beyond Acts 10 and beyond, with Cornelius being that first Gentile conversion and moving outward, right? I mean, because you could see it, the Ethiopian eunuch being that first Gentile conversion of what you think. There's some history between that. Queen of Sheba, people believe that they're connected. Don't have a whole lot of time to get through that. But that is fascinating to me. That's the God factor in all of this, is that God wants us to be global. His heart is global, not just for America, right? His heart is global. He wants to help everybody. He wants to save everybody. I'm reminded of 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. God wants all men, all people, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Last point is revelation. What does it teach you about yourself? For me, Black Panther, what it taught me about myself is I desire to be in Wakanda. I.e., as a Christian, I want to go to heaven. I really do. And it teaches some aspects of the church, that I love the church. And when I mean church, I mean parts of aspect of the church, but also the wider kingdom of God. And that, what I saw in Wakanda, men and women equal, helping each other. Like, that was God's design from Genesis. That Adam and Eve, that Eve would be that helper, would be that partner as Adam led and explored and subdued what God had created, and to be the leader of that. Eve was right there beside, not in a diminishing role, not in a secondary role, but they were there as partners. And that was God's design. And man jacked it up. People, we all jacked it up, right? All kinds of stuff. But I thought, man, watching Black Panther, I'm like, gosh, Wakanda is just it pales in comparison what heaven's going to be, that's talked about in Revelations 21, 22. Pales in comparison. I mean, this is something that you go back and read, first century Christians and authors, man, they just talked about heaven a lot. They just couldn't wait. Now, a lot of that was a lot of pressure they were getting from the Roman government at different periods through first, kind of second, it ramps up third-ish. I mean, there's some crazy stuff, and I heard fourth century also, but there's always a thought. I think for me, I could be so comfortable today. I can, especially being in America, I don't see what's going on in the world around me. And now today, I mean, even though I grew up and I had some humble beginnings here, I don't live that way now. And so I'm not constantly confronted with strife. There's always emotional strife, and I think that keeps me humble. I know that keeps me humble, and that God keeps it in my life. Like 2 Corinthians 12 that Paul talks about, giving the thorn in the flesh, God keeps us humble. But I'm not surrounded by death. I'm not surrounded unless I'm watching it on the news and being reminded of it. I want to live there to desire heaven, right? I want to live there so I can desire heaven. I can desire Wakanda. That heaven is what God has created for us since the beginning in Eden. That's what he wanted. He wanted to walk among us. He wanted to fellowship with us. He wanted to create for us and to spend time with us. And that's what I want to do. I love watching movies. Black Panther's awesome, but it ain't heaven. And that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be, and be with God. So that is the talk of Black Panther. I hope it helped you. I hope you connected with some things. You got some questions, please tweet that at me. If you want to find out more about my ministry, you can click on different social links down below, and I'll take you on this wonderful goose chase throughout my life here. You can check out my lessons and sermons and other things that can help you. Thanks for joining Jesus Pop. I'm grateful that you listen. If you have an interesting pop culture question for us to discuss, or topic or whatnot, I know a lot's going on in our world today. Love to talk about it. You can tweet at Jesus Pop, JEZUSPOP, Jesus Pop. And again, the links will be located in the show notes down below. Who knows? I may use a question for future discussions. Thanks again for listening to wherever you are, home, work, school, commuting. I hope you stick around and continue to support us by joining the conversation. Thank you.